RTE2FM. Jennifer Zamparelli, 2FM. Good morning, my friends. So, my favourite space expert. I call her Space Cadet for some reason, but she is a science advocate.
Tell me what you like.
Dr. Niamh Shaw is back with me, but weirdly, we might need to give a little ears warning on this.
Yeah, I normally do this. McDodge bits in this.
There is a few dodgy bits in this segment because we're going to talk about weird scientific studies. Let's start with the big guns. What can you tell me about this study? Is it real? Okay, the title is The Scrotum, a comparison of men's and women's aesthetic assessments. What was the point of finding out that?
I know, it's mad, isn't it? But here's the thing about science. Everybody's curious about something. So while we laugh, then we kind of go, actually, that's really interesting. This is a mad one. So it came from people that are interested in cosmetic surgery, right? So everybody talks about, I want a nose job, I want boob jobs, all this kind of stuff. So somebody somewhere said, what about the scrotum? Nobody's talking about the scrotum. So this was a study to see, are people aesthetically pleased by the scrotum? So what they did was they did the study where they showed male and females a series of photographs of different, I don't know what the plural of scrotum is. Maybe it's scrota. And what they found was nobody really thought any of them were visually appealing.
Scrota, you're right.
Scrota, there you go. Scrota.
Thanks, Brian.
Nobody found them. And there's no such thing as a beautiful scrotum.
You didn't need to pay for a study for that to happen. Honestly, I could have told them that. Who pays for this stuff?
Well, I guess the Cosmetic Surgery Society of the universe. You know what I mean? So, you know, every time there's a procedure, somebody has to start with the research somewhere. So, you know, they're always trying to think, what's the next big thing? So you always start with kind of focus groups and studies. So I imagine that that's what fed that one. And it's really interesting because there are so many bizarre studies out there that somebody somewhere thinks it's valid. And so this guy called Mark Abrahamson, he came up with this idea of Ig Nobel. So you've got the Nobel Prize every year. So he has the Ig Nobel Prize every year, which awards 10 people in different categories for scientific studies, which initially seem hilarious, but then they make you go, oh, that's interesting. So I've been scrolling through the research publications and through the Ig Nobel list of winners from previous years. And I found a few that you might find interesting.
Go on.
Well, there's one about the duck formation when swimming. So, you know, the way, like if you're walking in your town or in Dublin City on the canal, you'll see ducklings and they always swim in formation behind their mother. And somebody somewhere said, why do they do that? And is that because it's efficient or whatever? So somebody looked at the waves that were generated from the mother. You know the way, like if you see the wave that generates the mother, it kind of goes out in a V shape and then the ducklings then have their own little sub wave underneath that. But there's actually a reason why they make that formation is that they kind of ride the crest of the outgoing, the wave, basically the underwave that's formed by the mother wave, and then subsequently then the ducklings behind each other, then they all kind of, they save a little bit of energy by making that formation.
Lovely.
So that actually wasn't funded, but it did actually, it was a study from the University of Strathclyde. So somebody somewhere was looking at ducks going, I wonder.
Interesting. And nobody paid for that.
Nobody
Bizarre.
Paid for that. There's a mad one about purring cats.
Okay.
So somebody wanted to find out if there was any consistency to the purring of cats.
I mean, is this for real? A study that was done on purring cats?
Yeah. It was in the proceedings of some conference about, it was all about sound and, you know, it was a very kind of niche area of study. But they wanted to figure out, is there something that connects all cats together about what, you know, why they purr and how they purr.
Okay.
And everything. The problem is there was a flaw in their study because they only looked at four cats.
Low on funds there.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And so it was like, yeah, well, that's not going to tell you much. So anyway, they basically measured the sound pressure, the pressure and the duration that the cats purr and everything. And they couldn't come up with anything conclusive, which you wouldn't with four cats. You'd need to do it on about 1,000 cats. There probably is. I'm sure somebody somewhere has done a better study than that. But anyway, that's the purring cats one. You know.
Okay. What about the submarine related one you found?
Yeah.
What's
that
one?
That was one where, again, very small amount of, I mean, again, I was kind of going, that's a bit dodgy McDodge as a study. But they just took 8 submarines and they tried lots of different techniques to keep down the infestation of cockroaches. So they went, you know, 2 cans of this, 4 cans of that, if you wash beforehand, do everything. And so basically it was just literally a kind of a guidebook for people of how to keep your submarine clear of cockroaches.
Okay. Again, I don't know who's funding these things, but in 2020, there was a few whoppers. What did scientists do to a Chinese alligator and why?
Yeah, so they wanted to find out about, you know the way, like, they wanted to find out, does the size of an alligator affect how much volume they actually project, you know? So all of them have a voice. So what they decided to do was they decided to feed the alligator helium. And what that did was it actually froze their vocal cords. And then they wanted to see what sound came out when their vocal cords were frozen. That would only be about resonating. So resonating is like the timbre, you know, the depth of somebody's mm-hmm. voice. And they found that, as you would imagine, the bigger the alligator, the lower the toner, the more it resonated. And so it has nothing to do with the voice of a crocodile. It's to do with the size. That's why their sounds carry so far. So, I mean, I thought they were going to give it, I thought that they were hoping that it would be laughing gas or something, giving them helium. Did I tell you about the really weird one about connecting obesity and corrupt politicians?
Whoa, go yes. on. That's interesting.
In post-Soviet countries.
Okay.
So they looked at 299 faces from different cabinets, ministers in 2017 from 15 post-Soviet states. So that, and then they measured their body mass index. So body mass index is a way of taking into account the volume of somebody and their height. So like if you're a small person and you've got a large body mass index, more than likely you're going to be broad. Whereas if you're tall, you might have the same body mass index number, but because you're tall, that kind of volume is distributed. So what they did find was that body mass index is connected to corruption in these post-Soviet states. So it's almost like they ate more. Obviously, they just ate all their corrupt money that they were doing. But I mean, it's
that
crazy.
That was crazy.
An economic study. That was a crazy one.
Eyebrows and kissing on the mouth both got examined in great detail in two different studies. Yeah. What was going on there?
Well, one of them was a psychology study, and they were trying to figure out like what defines a narcissist. Quick look around the room. Who's the grandiose narcissist? And they said people with thick and dense eyebrows tend to be more narcissist. I mean, I know loads of people with thick and dense. My husband has thick and dense eyebrows. He's not a narcissist.
Narcissist because there was a study done in 2020, and that's what they said.
So they basically said that grandiose narcissists tend to have thick and dense eyebrows, so it's a giveaway. But I mean, there has to be more criteria than that. Like my grandfather had really thick eyebrows. They used to kind of go out, you know, those ones that they were
at you.
Yeah, they'd wave at you almost, but he wasn't a narcissist. And then there was a really interesting one about kissing and the value of kissing. Mm. And they looked at countries that were economically kind of disadvantaged and attractiveness. And they found that couples that were committed, kissing meant more. Obviously, the more physically attractive you are, you'll kiss them more. And also that countries that are more economically disadvantaged, they tend to kiss more than people from kind of wealthy countries.
Interesting.
Isn't it interesting?
Yeah, that's a funny one. We actually had a whole conversation about kissing on the show, not so long ago in Newsy Bits, about what your kissing says about you and the value in kissing and the fact that, you might agree to this, when you're married, it's very hard to get a snog out of your other half because it always, A, leads to something else. Sometimes you just want to have a kiss. Or B, you just don't have time.
Yeah, I know. It's like, I'm sorry, Succession's about to start.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's far more entertaining. Now, they say you should keep the best until last, and biggie to finish. The knives. Go on.
I couldn't believe this one. So somebody did a study that made a knife out of frozen human feces to determine how sharp it was. Mm-hmm. And obviously they found out that it wasn't sharp. I mean, it's a no-brainer. But it comes from this tale from the Inuit community, this sort of urban legend about this man that basically was ostracized by his community. He wasn't even given a knife to survive. And what he did was he realized that the only tools that he could make was using his own excrement, which he froze because he was out in the cold. So somebody in Canada decided, well, we have to figure out if that's true or not. So they got one.
No,
of the,
you don't actually.
They got somebody
Nobody
in the lab.
Needs to know that.
They got somebody in the lab to start collecting
God
their
love
feces.
Them.
Took them 4 days to get the first batch in.
Oh yeah. Well, he wasn't on the all brand.
Know, yeah, and then they did it. They collected it for 5 days. Then they made a mold of a knife. So one, they used a mold of a knife for it, like a cutout for the knife, and then somebody else handcrafted the shape of a knife, and lo and behold, it couldn't even cut butter. Not that you'd want it to go anywhere near your butter or your bread or anything or cheese.
Like, I knew this segment would be mad, but I really wasn't expecting this. Can you remind me again, how do these mad things happen with real adult, brainy people spending serious amounts of time with, like, frozen poo knives or high-pitched alligators?
Well,
like,
they're published all the time, so people are curious and they, you know, everybody, somebody somewhere is thinking about something you haven't thought about. And so there's all these monthly research magazines, I guess, for rent of a better word, and depending on what speciality. So there's one for economics, there's one for food science, there's one for agriculture, and they propose their research, somebody reviews it, and it goes in, and that's it, what happens. But how I know about it and how we know about it, there's an amazing bunch of people that read all these and find the bizarre and the obscure, and they actually have an annual awards every year called the Ig Nobels, run by a guy called Mark Abramson, and it's a satirical award ceremony that basically pokes fun at crazy science. And as they say, their motto is, it makes you laugh, but then it makes you think.
I like that motto. Dr. Niamh Shaw, thank you so much for coming in to a really interesting chat, and we'll be back right after this. Jen Zamparelli on RTE 2FM.